In the world, you will have tribulation. How does that square with this scripture in Matthew 11? Let's turn to Matthew 11. And let's look at this scripture. And then we will look at the other scripture where Jesus said, in the world, you will have tribulation. And of course, a lot of us feel that way right now. And yet, it's not the great tribulation yet. Okay. Matthew 11, right toward the end of the chapter. And here's what Jesus said. Verse 28. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are overly burdened. A lot of us feel that way, right? Yep. There are a lot of things in the world that burden us down. Mental problems, emotional problems, where you live, where you work, your friends, your relatives, your own children, the problems and difficulties that they go through. And sometimes people feel, well, I'm really burdened down. Hey, Christ says, come to me. And I will give you rest. Now, rest comes from peace of mind, and peace of mind comes from faith. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. How does that square with having tribulation in the world? And how does that square with having problems that leave you very depressed and anxious, sometimes even mad at God? Now, someone who had a lot of tribulation and got mad at God was Job, remember? He thought he had the grease slides into everything good because of how good he was. And then what happened to him? Well, you know the story. But part of it is very interesting because just about right in the middle of his argument with all these men, and in the middle of that argument, he was complaining. And he was saying, oh, I wished I had an umpire between me and God, that he could put his hand on his shoulder and on my shoulder, and he could settle who's right. Well, he found out God is always right. And he found out that he needed to repent. And he found out after that, then as Jesus said, the yoke is easy and the burden was light. But let's come to John 16 and let's see what Jesus said. John 16, verse 33. Okay, let's see what Jesus said here in the very last verse of John 16. All right, let's go back to verse 32. He's telling them, listen, the time is coming and has already come that you shall be scattered, each to his own. Now, we've already experienced that somewhat in the church, haven't we? Yes, indeed. and you shall leave me alone, and yet I'm not alone because the Father is with me. That's part of the easiness of the burden and the yoke. Okay? Here's why he said that, verse 33. These things I've spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. Now remember that it's only in Christ. You can't work out your own peace. You can't work out your own problems without Christ. Always remember that. In the world you shall have tribulation. What a wonderful thought. No, he's giving us a warning. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. But he says this, be courageous, I have overcome the world. Now, Paul said that he was called and forgiven to be an example for other people that would come after him. And he mightily persecuted the church. But also, when he was called, Christ told Ananias, who baptized him, he said that I have called Paul. Let's go there to Acts 9 and see what he told him. Acts 9, and we will see what the Lord told him. Acts 9, and after Ananias was told to go there, well, he was a little trepidatious because he knew that Paul had come there with orders from the high priest to arrest those who believed in Christ, to haul them off in chains to prisons and dungeons, even clear back up to Jerusalem, and some of them he killed like he was there approving of the martyrdom of Stephen. So Ananias was a little trepidatious, and he answered, let's go to verse 13. Then Ananias answered, verse 13, Acts 9, Lord, I've heard from many people about this man and how many evil things he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And even in this place, he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said, go, for this man is a chosen vessel to me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And I will show him what great things he must suffer for my name. And Paul did have to suffer. He was hunted, he was chased, he was betrayed, and we'll see what Paul went through. Because you see, all problems and difficulties are relative to your current situation. For example, we live in a time where we have everything we want by just going to the store to get it. Isn't that correct? Very few, if I ask you to raise your hand, probably no more than 3 or 4 could say they have a garden. But even if you have a garden, I know for sure none of you grow enough food for all of your needs for a whole year, do you? Okay? None of us. It's right at our fingertips. Money is right in a checkbook. Money is right in the bank. You have cars. You have television. You have all of these things. And when we get into trouble and we think we're going through trouble, it's all relative to the circumstances that we are living in. Now take a look at the way that people live in Afghanistan. Primitive housing at best, warring and shooting and killing, occupying army, and they've had war for how long? What, 25 years? The Russians were there for 10? We've been there for 8, and they had war before that. And what do they have? Nothing. So their trials and tribulations in their circumstances are greatly magnified compared to ours. But part of the problems that we have is this. Ours are magnified in our minds more because of what we have, and what we think we are suffering is really bad. When it may not be. But nevertheless, we still have problems and difficulties. So let's look at the Apostle Paul. Let's come here to 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. And we'll learn a lesson. Now we have to understand that Paul also committed everything to Christ. And he also said, with the words of Christ, count it all joy. Now that's a hard one, isn't it? When you have tribulation. And when people despitefully use you and persecute you, jump for joy, for great is your reward in heaven, which Christ will bring when he returns. See? So everything is in the perspective of your own circumstances, and then we can add your own emotions, your own feelings, relative to your relationship with God. Because Paul had learned that he suffered the loss of all things, and all the prestige and all the power and all the authority he had in the flesh, he said, it's a pile of manure, dung. And the Greek is skubala, to win Christ. So whatever your problems and difficulties are, think about that, to win Christ. Now let's see what he went through and wrote about, and this is only part of what he wrote about. 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, and let's begin right here in verse 1. Lots of times we leave off verse 1 and 2, but there is a special blessing that comes from reading it, because it's important how he introduced it. Verse 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God that is in Corinth, with all the saints who are in the entire region of Achaia. Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Quite a blessing, isn't it? Now notice how he approaches his problems. Though as severe as they were, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. If you have problems and difficulties, you're not going to get any comfort out of a wine bottle or a scotch bottle. You're not going to get any comfort out of moaning and groaning. You're not going to get comfort out of being mad at people, though you may have to be angry at them for a time. But you have to carry those to Christ, because he's the God of all comfort. Now notice, verse 4. This is a promise. So what we need to do when we have difficulties and we don't know the answers and we don't know what's going to happen and we don't know how things are going to work out, and people, are coming against us at every side and we don't know how to handle it. Here's what we do. Who comforts us in all our tribulation in order that we might be able to comfort those who are in any trial. Now this tells us what? Your difficulties will come full circle and end. Now then, through that, you have experience and you've been educated, right? then lo and behold, you're going to meet someone who has trouble. And now, if you've relied on God, you can tell them, God will work it out. But you have to do it God's way. Let's read on. Able to comfort those who are in any trial through the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. Notice his perspective, verse 5. For to the degree that the suffering of Christ abound in us. In other words, think about how Christ suffered and what he did as the creator of all mankind to save mankind. Now, when you go through some severe trials, you become deprived of a lot of things, don't you? Yes, you do. Look what Jesus voluntarily gave up, as Roger Kendall brought out in the first message. He emptied himself of being God to become a man. Now, we can read the words, we can comprehend the words, but we cannot comprehend the magnitude of what those words really tell us. But we know that with that, Christ is able to comfort us. See? For to the degree that the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. And if we are in distress, it is for our comfort and salvation. This gives us hope. God will rescue us. He will comfort us. He will give us the easy burden, which is being worked out by your enduring the same sufferings that we also suffer. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort and salvation, and our hope is steadfast for you, knowing that you are partners in the suffering, you are also partners in the comfort. Now, that's quite a thing, isn't it? Now, notice what Paul was referring to. Then he explains the circumstances of what he was going through. Verse 8. For we do not want you to be ignorant of our tribulation, brethren, even the trials that befell us in Asia, for we were exceedingly burdened beyond our own strength, so much so that we even despaired of living. Now, some of you have come to that point in your lives, haven't you? Some of you may be going through that right now. You may face it in the future. That might be occurring to your children, whether young or old, or to your relatives, or to other brethren that you know somewhere. See? Verse 9, for we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. That's the whole purpose, that we trust in God, not in ourselves. That's why we come to circumstances that are so beyond our control that the only thing we can do is turn to God and ask him to give us wisdom, understanding, and to help us. We go through all of the emotions, the anger, the crying, the tears, the denial, the wrath that how this could happen. And then we have to come to ourselves and realize that God is greater than all of this. And God has a purpose in this. And we'll see that there is nothing, by the time we get done, we'll understand there is nothing that you cannot overcome. So don't be despaired. Though for a time you can be despaired. There are times when you have to say, oh God, this is so much. I just can't handle it. Lift the burden. You promised. And he will. Now notice, verse 10, who delivered us from so great a death and continues to deliver, in whom we have hope that he will even yet deliver. Now notice how this is done. While you also are laboring together for us by supplication to God, that the gift to us from many persons might be cause to of thanksgiving by many for us, and also the difficulties in trying to get the offering to the poor saints down in Jerusalem who were suffering from famine. Now let's come to chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4, and let's begin in verse 5. Now, after he talks about how Satan is God of this world and blinds people's eyes and so forth, verse 5, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5. Now, notice, when he got in trouble, he didn't have a big pity party. You ever had a pity party? Feel so sorry for yourself? Woe is me. You know, like that used to be on Hee-Haw. Hee-Haw. Woe, misery. Remember that song they used to sing? See, I could tell you watched television those days. Okay? But notice the lesson that he learned, verse 5. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Because it is God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, who shined into our hearts the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now that's something. So what does he do in his distress? He looks to the hope, he looks to the promises, and he claims those from God. So he says, verse 8, that the supremacy of the power, verse 7 rather, may be of God and not of ourselves. On every side we were hard pressed, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in our bodies the but dying of the Lord Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For those of us who are living are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. Quite a thing. What a way to look at it. And we'll see some of the other things that he went through. Okay? Now then he says, come down here to verse 14. Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead shall also raise us through Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sake, all the suffering he went through and so forth, so that the abounding grace may cause the thanksgiving of many to overflow under the glory of God. Now look how he looked at this. In spite of everything he was going through, here's what he wrote. For this reason we do not lose heart. Very good lesson. Never get so discouraged that you lose heart. For if our outward man is being brought to decay, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. See, because it's all for the spiritual lesson and building the character of God. It's all for the pointing toward the resurrection. So even though you go through these things, don't be despaired. Don't give up. Even in spite of the fact that it looks like there is no solution, put it all before God in prayer and supplication, and he will provide a way out. Always remember, that he will. Now look at how he viewed all of these things. Verse 17. For the momentary lightness of our tribulation is working out for us an immeasurably greater and everlasting fullness of glory. Perfect lesson. Look to the end. Look beyond the problems that are immediate. Yes, you have to handle them. Yes, you have to do whatever you need to do. Yes, you come to the point that you're totally frustrated and depressed and anxious and can't sleep, and all of us have gone through that. I know what that's like. Our family knows what that's like. Dolores knows what that's like. And the worst thing that can happen to you is that you have been ill-treated by the hands of those who were supposed to be your associates and friends. And you get so frustrated that you're beyond yourself and beside yourself, and that's exactly where God wants you to be in the problem, so you cast all your cares upon him. Because God is able to work out many tremendous things. So notice how he always kept his mind on the goal and the vision here. While we consider not the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen, for the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. So he kept his mind on this all the time. Now drop down to chapter 5 and verse 7. Just this one verse, very short, 8 words. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Now, if you're experiencing some difficulties and problems, take that and put it right up there. Maybe write it out, you know, put it on your bulletin board. We walk by faith and not by sight, and you look to God to help you understand that and to do that. Now, we're going to see that in time, we all have 20/20 hindsight after the fact. Let's come to chapter 6, verse 4. Verse 4. But in everything, we are confirming ourselves as servants of God in much endurance, in tribulation, in necessities, and in distresses. Now, Paul, as was told to Ananias by God, he was going to suffer for Christ. And he did. Look at this. I mean, just take this one verse, verse 4. In much endurance, in tribulation, in necessities, and distresses. Now, add on top of that, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. Seems almost overwhelming, doesn't it? Yet Paul endured, didn't he? Yes, he did. Now, verse 6. In pureness, in knowledge, in long-suffering, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in unfeigned love. See, he never lost what he needed to always retain, and that is his relationship with God and looking to God for the strength to help him through all of it. Now continuing here. Verse 10. Verse 7, rather. Beg your pardon. In the word of truth, in the power of God, through the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, through glory and dishonor, through evil report and good report, as deceivers and true, as unknown and well known, as dying, but behold, we are alive, as chastised, but we not put to death, as sorrowful, but always rejoicing, as always rejoicing, as poor, but enriching many, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. Because if there's one thing you have, which is God the Father, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, that will see you through any trial and difficulty, and Christ will make the burden light. All right, let's continue. Boy, this 2 Corinthians is really something, all the things that Paul went through. Let's come over here to chapter 11. Now, this is quite a thing. Chapter 11. Now, as we go through chapter 11, and let's begin here in verse 17. As we go through these scriptures, I want you to think about the problem or trial or difficulty or stress that you are going through. And then I want you to ask yourself the question, have I even come remotely close to what Paul went through? I mean, if all of this happened to some people that I know in the Church of God, they would be angry and mad and bitter and hateful. I know a man who died of a heart attack because he was so angry at the so-called apostle in the church that he died. He was just in a fit of anger every time he heard that man's name. Boom! Well, you see, he had to forgive. Did his anger change the man? No. Did his anger change his righteous, make him righteous? No. Did his anger bring him peace of mind? No. He died. There's a time with problems you got to let go, because you can't solve them. They have to be in God's hands. Right, now let's see what he went through here. All right, chapter 11, verse 17. Chapter 11, verse 17. Okay. What I am now saying, I do not speak according to the Lord, but as in foolishness, in this confidence of boasting. And he said, you made me do it because of bragging about all these false apostles. Since many boast according to the flesh, I will also boast. Now notice the sarcasm here. Because you see, what is happening is that people get so blinded by the problems that they have and the problems of not contending with the false apostles the way that they should have was really a very minor thing compared to what Paul went through. So he's trying to bring it out by comparison of what he's saying here. For since you are so intelligent, you gladly bear with fools. For you bear it, if anyone brings you in bondage, if anyone devours you, if anyone takes from you, if anyone exalts himself, if anyone beats you on the face. And we've all experienced that in the church from the pulpit and otherwise, haven't we? Yes. And that in itself has also caused a lot of distress among brethren and people, and even sickness and death. Verse 21, I speak as though we were under reproach for being weak, but in whatever way anyone else is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold. So he says, you want to brag? That's stupid. But since you're stupid, I'm going to do it to show your stupidity and their stupidity of the false apostles. Verse 22, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of God? I'm speaking as if I were out of my mind. How could that be? Yet they were accepting them as servants of God. Okay. So am I, above and beyond measure, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in imprisonments more frequent, in deaths often. 5 times from the Jews I received 40 stripes less one. Anybody here ever received even one stripe? Nope. Anybody here been in prison? Nope. Anybody been facing death very often? Hardly. Maybe one or two. 5 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Anybody here been stoned? Remember that in Acts 14? He was stoned and left for dead. So you might ask the question, so I think I have suffered. See? Put everything in perspective and take it to God. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Boy, I tell you, if anybody's in a car wreck, you know it. How about shipwreck? A night and a day I spent in the deep. Anybody for treading water? Okay. See? A night and a day. Can you imagine what it's like to be out there in the Mediterranean Sea or the Aegean Sea, and you're holding on to a piece of a broken ship, and you're treading water all night, praying, looking up and seeing the stars and saying, oh God, here I am. You can see me. Can you help me? Can you send someone? Can anybody find me out here in the middle of this vast body of water? I've been in journeyings often, in perils of rivers, in perils of robbers, in perils from my own race, in perils from the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the desert, in perils on the sea, in perils among false brethren. And what did this cause him? In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. So when God told Ananias, I'm going to show him what things that he's going to suffer for me. Look at what he went through. Now you see, when we take these scriptures and we put them next to our problems, we can see our problems are really very manageable, aren't they? And ask God to help you see the way out. Now, some people today are facing a thing. They may go totally bankrupt. Well, there's hope beyond bankruptcy. People have lost their jobs. There's hope beyond losing your job. Those things can cause distress and despair. Some people have had to let their houses go. Let me tell you one secret. They cannot foreclose unless they bring the original deed of trust and note signed by you. 7th District Court of Appeals in Kansas, 2 months ago. So, if you're in that problem with your house, let the bank know the facts. Go down to the bank and say, if you repossess, you're only going to get 50% of what's due. How about we cut a deal? You reduce our mortgage by 50% and you won't have to repossess and we can make the payments and give us a low interest rate. All right. Now, if that weren't enough, this is all just happening to him and Timothy and Silas and those with him. But if that weren't enough, he'd got to deal with the carnal brethren within the church. Besides all these things from the world outside, pressing in on me daily is the care of all of the churches. Who is weak? And I'm not weak. Who is offended? And I'm not burned. If it is necessary for me to boast, I will boast in the things concerning my weakness. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed into the ages of eternity, knows that I do not lie. So that's quite something. That's all given to us here so that we may learn how to handle our problems and not be in despair. All right, let's look at some other scriptures which gives us some more of the solutions. All right, let's come to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6. Just a few pages over, Ephesians 6 and verse 18. Here is how to do it. Now, this is at the end of fighting against Satan, because some of these things are satanically and demonically inspired, and you have to put that in God's hands. See? Verse 18, Ephesians 6. Here's what we do. Pray at all times. And believe me, when you have overwhelming and pressing and hard to carry problems, you're praying all the time, whether you're on your knees praying or you're up walking or you're thinking, and you're just saying, God, help me. God, give me understanding. God, help me to control my emotions. Help me to control my thoughts. Give me peace of mind so I can think, so I can understand what you want me to do. See? Praying at all times with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And in this very thing, being watchful with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Because you see, there's coming a time when there's going to be a persecution against all Christians, whether they're Sabbath keeping or the professing ones who are Sunday keeping and don't want to receive the mark of the beast. It's coming. Now, let's go to Philippians 4. Philippians 4 and verse 6. And remember, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians were written while he was in prison in Rome the first time, with chains around his legs. Philippians 4 and verse 6. Here's what we need to do. This comes with the Holy Spirit, the renewing of the mind, and a determination to not let the problems overwhelm you and get you down. You can make the choice to not let them do it. It's a choice to not let these circumstances overwhelm you and depress you. Now, you don't, on the other hand, want to turn around and be foolish and giddy about it either, because that's the opposite, which would be nonsense. Verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God in everything. Then, here's the promise. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. Then we're also told, don't let the sun set on your wrath. That means get over it before you go to bed. Put it all in God's hands. Ask God to give you good and decent sleep. Don't lie in bed and fight the battles in your mind hour after hour after hour after hour. And then you get up the next morning and you're so wiped out, you're worthless. What you do is this. You get up and pray about it and put it in God's hands right then. That's how you do it. See? Praying with all supplication in everything. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. Quite a tremendous blessing, isn't it? Yes, it is. Absolutely a fantastic thing for us. Now, let's finish by going to Romans, the 8th chapter. Because the conclusion of the whole matter is this. You will overcome everything through Christ. You will be able to conquer every problem, every difficulty, every obstacle, whether great or whether small, through prayer and supplication and faith. Okay, Romans 8, verse 28. Always remember this. Now, I've had to experience this too. When we had dark days years ago, we didn't know what was coming from anything. No job, no savings, no severance, none of that. Brokenhearted, discouraged, down, but God wanted it that way for a purpose. So remember that. We can look back now and see that's exactly how God wanted it to be. And a lot of people have said, well, Fred Coulter's like a lone wolf out there. That's exactly how God wanted it. And when it became that way, I didn't even understand it, and I didn't even understand the trial going through it for God to get me where He wanted me. And after He got me where He wanted me, I still didn't understand it for many years, but I came to the point of accepting it and asking God for understanding. And He will give it. But here is the scripture that we all need to claim. And here's how we need to face all the problems. Verse 28. For we know. Now this is something you've got to come in knowledge and conviction and understanding that you know. That all things work together for good. Even the evil, terrible things that happen, God will turn it for good. In His way and in His time. To those who love God, so never lose your love of God. You've got to love God and understand to those who are called according to His purpose. Everything. So regardless of what it is, there are going to be some things which may not be resolved until the resurrection. Can we live with that? Certainly. I can bear all things through Christ, is what Paul said, right? Yes. Now notice, verse 29, because those whom He has foreknown, did foreknow, He also predestinated to be conformed to the image of His own Son, that He, that is Christ, might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now whom He predestinated, these He also called. And whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, He has also glorified. Two ways of fulfilling glorified. One, you receive the Spirit of God, which comes from the glory of God, does it not? Two, He's looking at you when you are going to be resurrected and in your glorified immortal spirit form. So you see how all these things worked in Paul's life. And just think, he wrote all of these. And we have it today. And we can understand what God is doing with us. Verse 31, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Nothing can be against us. Your own problems, your own difficulties, your own circumstances, put them all in God's hands. Cast them all on Christ, for He loves you and cares for you. And then when you come out through the other side and the burden is lifted, you'll probably say, what a relief. Let's see. Notice what he focuses on, verse 32. He who did not even spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how shall he not also grant us all things together with him? Who shall bring an accusation against the elect of God? God is the one who is justified. Who is the one that condemns? It is Christ who died, but rather who is raised again, who is even now at the right hand of God and who is also making intercession for us. Christ is there pleading for you, pleading for me, pleading for all the saints who have problems and difficulties. Verse 35, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? You see, God has called you for something eternal, and there is nothing which can turn that back if you are faithful to God. Nothing, no circumstance, no trial, no anxiety can separate you. Notice verse 36. According as it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long, we are reckoned as sheep for the slaughter, but in these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And that means there is no problem, no difficulty, physical, spiritual, or whatever, that you cannot overcome. For I am persuaded, and this is what we need to be, not almost persuaded, but wholly persuaded, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, brethren, you're on God's side. Christ will fight for you. He will help you with all of these things. Whatever problems you have, take them to him, cast them upon him, for he loves you and cares for you, and he will see you through them. And if you have problems you want the brethren or me to pray about, let us know. We'll pray for you. But also do us one favor. When you get through the other side of the tunnel, let us also know that, because you will arrive there. Without a doubt. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.